This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Joke.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Here come the NBA playoffs. Not even Sixers-Knicks. Is that of interest to you at all? Sixers versus Knicks. That's pretty good, isn't it? Traditional rivalry.
Yeah, sure. It's just star power.
Do you root
there.
For the Knicks? Kinda. You sort of want to see the Knicks make a run?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
When I've watched basketball this year, NBA basketball anyway, the Knicks is what I've been drawn to.
You're drawn to the Knicks.
It's always kind of interesting to me if they get good because, I mean, it's, you know, the Mecca, Madison Square Garden. I don't know. I feel like it's been so long since they've been credible that when they are good, I kind of root for them.
I know, but I don't.
It's very contrary to how I usually live my life because I root against most things New York City.
Yeah.
But this is an exception.
I take comfort in droughts and long streaks, and I don't want the Knicks to ever make it again. Is that a problem for Travis? Travis, are you a Knicks guy, maybe?
Yeah, I got a Knicks hat on as we speak.
Conversation.
Yeah.
No!
Well, I'm your dude, Knicks. Then. Here I am. Yeah. Although, the way I talked about him, it sounds like I'm kind of taking pity on them, and then maybe by virtue of you.
Fair.
The Knicks. You could put the Knicks in Buffalo because the last 30 years of Knicks basketball are indiscernible from Sabres hockey and Bills football for the most part, right? I feel like they're a Buffalo team at heart. So, yeah, you got to rally behind the Knicks.
How do the Knicks – you might be biased here, but you're also Travis Yost. Like, how do the Knicks rank for most – what? Embarrassing? Feudal? Where are the New York Knicks on the rankings of just like – OMG, the last quarter century.
They're pretty far down or pretty far up.
Pretty far up.
Check the list. I mean, if you think about it, it's gotten better over the last, let's say, 7 years. But I would put the depths of like the Phil Jackson era with the Knicks organization or the Isaiah Thomas era previously. Like, I'd put that on par with like mid 2010s Edmonton Oilers, like drought era Buffalo Bills, drought level Detroit Lions. I mean, it was not just routinely bad basketball. They were also like colossally mismanaged and spent a bajillion dollars on players that no one would touch. Like, I still have PTSD from the Eddie Curry and Jerome James contract. So I mean, this can go way back. But they got a good team now, and most fill in the blank. I would argue they're one of the most entertaining teams in the league. Not the best, but most entertaining. One of the most entertaining teams this year. So,
I thought about like the Daniel Snyder Washington teams, you know, where it's like such a big market.
Very good.
Small markets, you don't even really notice necessarily that they haven't been in the playoffs for a long time. I don't know.
That's a good comp.
Right?
That's a good comp.
Just like it's just an embarrassment on a different kind of level.
And it's kind of a heritage franchise. I mean, the Washington NFL team there's been a lot of success there. And they're not quite the Steelers or the Patriots of the 2000s.
But none of it's been in high def.
Right, exactly. Right.
Now that I'm thinking about this a little more, is there any daylight between the Knicks and the Jets?
So, my son recently just sort of randomly, he's 14, Travis, he randomly asked me, is there an NFL team that's never been good? And I said, I thought about it, like, not really. Like, I think even sort of Jacksonville has had a couple of years, or Carolina. He likes Houston, so Houston. He said, but what about the Jets? I'm like, well, that's pretty good, actually. Maybe the Jets are the right answer. You know, that 1969,
right?
Right? Like, was that even sports?
How is it not an all-time bet to go under 9.5 wins again on them this year? Just saying.
Ooh, that's the number? 9.5?
9.5 with a quarterback who's getting his third or fourth sciences degree. I mean, good for him.
good Lord. Nice.
Well, you know, moving forward here, Travis, the Sabres, I mean, it's an NHL record that they've just topped their own record for the longest time since even making the playoffs, 2011. What do you think here? Like, some of the advanced metrics weren't so bad on them, you know, 5-on-5 play. They got goaltending. They fell into good goaltending this year. Still wasn't enough. Now the coaching change. What's your summary of what this year was? Because I would say it's more of a wasted year. Some of these years, you're tanking, you're rebuilding, you know, like nobody expects anything. Off of last year, missing by one, this year feels like more of a wasted opportunity to me.
Yeah, definitely a wasted opportunity. It's a great way to summarize it. Here's the challenge, and I got killed, understandably. I've been there by Sabres fans. I talked about this last week a little bit, and I wouldn't say this season leaves you with optimism. That's not what I am saying. However, what I do think is worth saying is the last two seasons are fundamentally different than the broader drought that the Sabres organization has been through. And for many fans, and I completely understand it, that's a distinction with absolutely no difference. It's like, we didn't make the playoffs, who cares? But you look at a team, you look at the Sabres this year, and were they one of the eight best Eastern Conference teams? No. But were they ninth? I think that's debatable, right? Like, I even think it's debatable if Washington was the eighth best team in the Eastern Conference.
They are terrible, Travis. They're terrible, Washington.
They're not only terrible, think about this. They were 39 goals worse than the Sabres this year. The Sabres finished the season with a positive goal differential. And I understand, like, you know, a lot of the feedback, and I think it's fair, was it seems like a two polar opposite seasons, right? Last year, insanely entertaining, cooking with gas offensively, couldn't buy a save. Your goaltending group was a disaster. We talked about that a number of times last year, where I actually felt like last season was the missed opportunity, because if you had the goaltending of this season, or even average goaltending last year, you probably get in, right? And whereas this year, they found a goaltender, which feels like, oh, maybe they finally have addressed what has beleaguered this franchise for years. But the offense took a step back, and, you know, you ended with a coach firing. I think it's 7-13 now, so they're going to be on the prowl for another head coach. So, I mean, it's at absolute best a mixed season. But I do think you do, if nothing else, you do have to differentiate the last two seasons, which have been in large part buoyed by a youth movement that is starting to work, and a team that is playing now for two seasons. Say what you will about playoffs or not, they're playing competitive hockey. I mean, that's not really in dispute. Go back five seasons ago. I mean, that was so laughable, it's not even funny. So, like, there are real signs of progress. The real billion-dollar question is, I don't want to see progress. I want to see a team in the playoffs. And, like, who is the coach? What is the personnel grouping? Who is the goaltender? Who is the center I'm going to acquire? What is the makeup of this team going into next season? I think a lot more time is going to be spent on a coaching debate at the end of the day. I think front offices have outsized impact on how these rosters perform. And unless you are a truly heinous, terrible coach, and they do exist, you generally are what you are within a few points, right? Coaches aren't miracle makers. And I think a lot more of the pressure is actually on the front office.
Yeah.
It's certainly so after removing the coach now, but I do think there's going to be a very interesting discussion about, you know, you heard they want to bring in a veteran coach. That always sounds nice, but then when you start thinking about the veterans, it's like there is a big difference between Rod Brind'Amour and Joel Quenneville, right? Like, and how that shakes out. I think a lot more attention probably should be spent on the roster building component, but the reality is they've got to address the coaching search now right off the top.
If they even talk to Joel Quenneville, I may be frozen in place with my head in my hands permanently. Like I may just become like Harrison Ford
every few months his name gets floated back to the surface, and I'm like, who is doing this? Like right. I don't like I just all right, it's over, let's move on. And you saw pockets of it right before the trade deadline again when there was a run of coaching changes around the league, and I am certain his name will pop up again.
Yeah, a lot of different ways we can spin off of everything you just said there before I squeezed in the shot about Quenneville. And but the front office is, you tripped a wire for me when you brought up how they couldn't get a save last year. You know what they didn't do last year? Go out in the market and try to do anything about their goaltending when they had this team that could score almost at will. This year, like, it's great that Kevin Adams struck a somewhat angry tone, and the players have kind of fallen in line. They had locker clean out the last 2 days, you know, after Adams spoke on Tuesday after Granato's dismissal, and it's, you know, we need to be pushed more, we need accountability, we need this, we need to practice harder, all these different things. Were you on the job all year? You know, like, why didn't you act on any of that? Like, I like how all that sounds in a vacuum, but if you zoom out a little further, and dude, why not do something? I mean, the only defense for it is that they never lost more than four games in a row, and they only did that once all year, I guess, so they never spiraled, but geez.
But that's the thing with the treadmill of mediocrity, right? You're never bad, but you're never good, right? And it's like you're just constantly on par. And again, I think the easiest thing to reasonably kill this front office over was the neglected goaltending position starting from last season. You could even go back two seasons ago and how they've handled that position. The other thing, and, you know, sound bites are sound bites and quotes are quotes, and it's easy to get caught up in what guys say, especially when it's on the fly. But I don't want to paraphrase, but he did say something when talking about Don Granato's exit that I raised an eyebrow at, and it was to the effect of, we weren't ready to start from the beginning of the season. Like, he was complaining about slow starts to games, but also that the point he was making, or the inference I took from it, was the juice and the energy wasn't there. The team never really got on the right foot. And like, but I'm going back and I'm like, to your point about sleeping on the job all year, it's like, okay, you're the general manager. The coach reports into you. If you have concerns about how the team is starting, how the team is conditioned, what first periods look like, but whatever the case is, whether it's random chance outcomes or you think it is a complete effort component or all things in between, if you think the coach is mismanaging your roster, this firing should have happened 6 months ago. That's the part that I don't – like, it seems so easy to say that post hoc after you fire a coach after the season is over. And it feels like, yeah, I'm going to absolve myself of responsibility to let you know that Granato was not the guy for the job, and here's why. And it's like, okay, if I accept that as fact, that kind of paints a bad picture about you too. And I don't know that Kevin Adams meant to parlay it that way.
Well, what's Occam's razor here, Travis? Ownership wouldn't let him do it, isn't it? Like,
that
now, now there's the Pegulas themselves are saying today, yeah, the report is right, we're selling a quarter of the Bills. You know, like, there are people who just sort of throw in, well, would he want to pay another coach not to work here? There's a list. Well, maybe. You know, the Sabres have been cutting everywhere for a long time, and I don't know, I feel like they were, Bulldog's been saying the point about how they never had a big losing streak. It's like, well, why ride it out? And maybe that's why. Because they never got to a point where it was just so far gone. And I don't know. I'm just guessing, but that's what's logical to me.
Yeah.
I think that's an extremely fair point. And I think you guys stay close to this stuff. I think a generally good sports rule is, in the absence of something obvious, continue looking upstairs, and I think there might be some merit to that.
Yeah.
Certainly with the news of the transaction today.
So the way forward here for the hockey team, Travis, I don't know, you probably are aware of this because you follow the league pretty closely. There's a former Devils and Dallas Stars coach who we're pretty familiar with who is on the market, still has a home here. We're kind of wrestling with how good an idea Lindy Ruff is, because usually Mike more so than myself, but I never loved the idea of, like, make Jim Kelly the offensive coordinator, like that type of fan viewpoint. And we always seem to want to touch base with, you know, reconnect with the old flame kind of idea. But Lindy feels like it's still, I don't know, I think it could be a credible idea just from a hockey coach standpoint. What are your thoughts?
He's a fine coach, but to me, if you're going to go the we need to get a, you know, a grizzled veteran in here, this is the way I think about it. Could Lindy coach Sabres next season? Yes. Could he do a good job? Yes. Is it a retread hire of the nth degree and you're just calling back to 10, 15 years ago because it's been a sea of just horribleness since? Also, yes. However, I would put him, I think you have to comp veteran coaches to other veteran coaches, and you got to comp your college and potential new hires and assistants against one another as well. And a lot of this comes down to how these guys interview and how they think about team building, right? We're you know, we can dissect front office decisions to the nth degree. How a coach thinks about strategy and structure and how he interviews is pretty foreign to even the closest observers. But I will say this. Is Lindy Ruff a better fit than Brind'Amour or Bruce Boudreau? I think that is a very, very, very big question mark, certainly in the case of Brind'Amour. I think you can say what you will about Boudreau, and he's been out of the, you know, been out of the league now for a little bit. On the other hand, his track record is sublime, and if your biggest argument against Bruce Boudreau is, well, he's pretty old, go to Wikipedia and check Lindy Ruff's age. So I'm generally opposed to hiring retread coaches to begin with, because I just think it becomes, especially in the NHL, I think it's just a place of comfort for front offices. And I take the point that relationships are built over time. So a lot of these personalities know one another, and a lot of it comes down to trust and execution of the front offices, how they built the roster and how they want to deploy that roster. But I think if you were stacking veteran coaches, even considering the prior fit, I do not think Lindy Ruff is at the top of that list. And even if he is a viable option, and I think he is, I really do think when you've got a scenario, I mean, if the Hurricanes are out in the first round or second round and the Sabres put together an incredible package for a Rod Brind'Amour type who's on an expiring contract, does he take it? Probably not. But if you can't say definitely not, you have to make that offer first.
How available is he? Like, do they have to lose in the first round, or could they lose in the second round? What's the play if I want him? Do I just sort of wait that out?
First off, I think the Hurricanes would be crazy to let him go. Right. That said, right, we're always measuring in relativity. And I can make the argument that over the last 7-8 years, and I actually think this is mathematically true, they're one of the three best teams in the National Hockey League in terms of how they performed in the regular season. On the other hand, where is the playoff success? It's been mixed at best, and they have had a dominant roster for years now. They've got a very, very forgiving first-round opponent. But
Islanders.
I'll tell you what, they get bounced early. All you need is a front office, and that is a damn good front office in Carolina, to pause or think about an assistant, or you just need a tiny bit of doubt. And if the Sabres are willing to deploy serious money, and Brind'Amour is going to cost a fortune, and maybe that is part of the issue with the Sabres' potential of landing a guy of that caliber, I still think, though, that if you are truly if your goal is to be maximally competitive and you are looking for the best potential option, and the general manager has already said we want a guy with a lot of experience, it is very hard for me to find anyone that checks all boxes better than him.
Right. You said earlier Sabres fans gave you a hard time for saying something nice about the Sabres. Is that what happened?
That is true. And you know what? It reminds me of like when we would watch those 8-8 Bills teams, and I'd be like, I don't care that they beat a 12-4 team here. They're 8-8.
So Travis, I tweeted this, but it doesn't mean you had to see it. I was picking up in my basement last night and found a notebook which had like the week by week 2004 season, like the notes for Bulldog and I to talk on post game, and I ended up realizing that they lost 16 straight games over 5 years that were decided by 4 points or fewer. We just had the close game debate. I think we even included you in that at one point.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
What does it mean that the Bills are losing all these close games? The year before they won them, the next year they won them. But I had no idea that literally almost 5 years went by and they lost them all. 16 straight. Somebody tweeted back at me, the Pythagorean record, the Bills actually won 3 rings in those years. I mean, almost. So maybe the drought wasn't as bad as we thought.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is correct. I think the 2004 Buffalo team.
Yes.
I think was the best or second best team ever by DVOA to not make the playoffs.
Yep.
But you're going to have to refresh my memory. I also had a notebook because I was 13 years old and going to freshman year of high school, by the way.
Yes. Well,
how do you like that needle? How do you like that needle, guys?
I'm used to it.
I'm just ignoring it. I'm not even acknowledging it. Well, I guess I am by saying I'm ignoring it. It means I'm not. Anyway, and that is right about the DVOA. When we first started visiting with Aaron Schatz many years ago, still while the drought was going on, the founder of Football Outsiders and DVOA is his metric. That comes up like at least once a year with him on this show.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure if that's been topped, but 04 Bills were always. And we talked to Ross Tucker every week, too, who was on that team.
No, but on a serious note, bringing this full circle, sports fans, this is an area where sports fans, commentators, observers, people of every possible background, this is an area of disillusionment frequently. Like, for example, the Capitals being in the playoffs, bringing this full circle, like, the only way that happened was they won a lot of really close games, and in the games they did not win, they were blown off the ice. So, yeah. No, they are not one of the 16 best teams or remotely close to one of the 16 best teams. Detroit was better. Pittsburgh was better. Buffalo was better. I would even take Ottawa over Washington. But at the end of the day, it's a win-loss game, right? And you got to draw the line somewhere, and the NHL draws it at minute 60 and minute 65. And in this case, a team like Washington can somehow sneak into the playoffs.
If it's possible for an NHL team to lose a first-round series in 3 games, I think the Capitals are going to do it.
You know what? I feel the exact same way, and like we also know the NHL. Like, would it?
Right.
They'll win. Let me just say this right now. If they're up 3-1 with the Rangers facing elimination, have me on next week so we can laugh.
Let's do it. Why is there no play-in? How easy an idea is that? Why is there no play-in game?
One, I'm coming around to the idea of play-in. I do wish they would fix the playoff format first. But can I make a small complaint here with the NHL?
Sure.
My large complaint is the format, which is garbage. But the small complaint is this. So I don't know if you guys know this, but the calendar, the yearly calendar, goes January 1 to December 31, and it's produced many, many, many years ahead. And the NHL schedule is produced annually. Can you explain to me how we got to a point where the first weekend of the Stanley Cup playoffs has a truncated Saturday because they decided to end the regular season on a Thursday? Can you guys just get to that point real quick? Because I am lost how that happened.
No, how many games are tomorrow?
Two. The first night of the playoffs should be like 7, 7:30, 9:30, and 10, or 10 and 10:30.
Not to mention 1-4.
Right, or on a Saturday, right. But instead, 5 o'clock,
NHL,
8 o'clock.
NHL will be the first group to tell you that weekends, and weekends especially, are big ratings juicers, and yet they extinguish the regular season on a Thursday, and because of that, could only draw in 2 matchups on Saturday. Sometimes they get in their own way, and I just, like, for the life of me, I don't understand that. The NBA is loaded up all weekend. The NHL, we get 2 games on Saturday. Makes no sense.
Very bad. Well,
and they're on channels I don't get at home.
Yeah, who even gets these channels?
Whatever.
Half the games are probably on NHL Network, too.
The last Sabres game ever played was on Versus, by the way. Playoff game, what'd I say? I didn't say playoff.
Less Sabres game.
Well,
period,
I'm pretty sure playoff. You're right. Thank you, Travis. Always a pleasure.
Take care, guys. Go Knicks.
Go Knicks. Bo Knicks. Little segue right there.
Look at
Bo
you.
Knicks.
What a pro.
Travis Yost, TSN. 803-0550 to join us. Lines are open right now. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after sports here on WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.